Great job. Remember, we always clap for the announcement person because it is a thankless job. And it's so hard because it's Jacqueline now to do the announcements. And I'm used to Cole, and I could always rip Cole, but now I got to be nice to Jacqueline, you know. And so, but she does a great job. Yeah, we do have to pray for junior high stuff. And how awesome. I see, you know, Rob and Lauren went up with them, and it's such a... When you see Rob and Lauren, make sure you go, way to go, thank you, thanks for, that's hard. Junior, you know, going through junior high is hard, but leading junior hires is even harder. So make sure you really encourage them. They always need our way to go's. Make sense? Hey, over the last probably month and a half, we've been talking year-end giving, you know, to the point of nauseam, maybe. You're like, okay, we got it, okay. And so we've been talking year-end giving, probably leading right up to December and all through December. A lot of the reason we do it is because December's, as far as the church goes, our church at least, it's an important month for our church. 25% of our budget comes in the month of December, which is staggering. So you're like, if December doesn't fall right, or, you know, then we're... You know, I'm asking for money every week, and then you're going to kill me. Or you, yeah, you're good. So, and not only that, but we went into December. We went in December behind in budget, so it was really something that we've been praying about and asking a lot about, and bringing to your attention and all those things. So, I want to just let you know amazing news of your generosity, and how awesome you are, and how. You know, I was with so many people, and they always just remind us, they say, God provides, you know. And so we made, not only did we make budget for December, not meaning not to hit budget for December, but we were behind in our budget, and we made December was such a blessed month for us that we are caught up on our budget as well. So we're right in line. Way to go, guys. You know, it's interesting because there's a lot of reasons I didn't want to be a pastor. You know, like people think you grew up wanting to be this. No. Like, who does? Who wants? Who's that? Yeah. So there's a lot of reasons I didn't want to be a pastor. And one of them was talking about money. You know, it's like, God, I feel like church is always just grinding on money and people, that's why people don't, you know, I get all that. And here's the great part of us, you know, making budget. We also come to realize that we're in this battle in life about who's the Lord of our life. And I get money. We got bills. You know, money's important. I get all that. But our battle in life is who's the Lord? Is it money or is it God? Is God important or is it all about money? So we're in this wrestling match. And so the great part about where we are as a church is it's just this way of celebrating your heart, that you just have this mentality that, yes, money is important, but God is the Lord of your life, you know? And we celebrate that. So that's what this represents. It also represents this idea that you feel like this is a church, you love what we've been doing, and you love the vision of the church, and you love where we are going, and God has great things in store for us as a church, for us as individuals, and what we want to do in the community, what we want to do around the world, what we want to do in the life of kids and marriages and parenting and growing up and all those things. So it just in my mind just reminds that you're excited about that as well. And here, one last thing, and then I'll get the message. You all play in different ways. Some of you, it's big ways, just financially, just feels like big ways. Some, it's, you know, might be not as big a ways. Some of you are in a season where, you couldn't play. Or maybe you're just coming to the church and you're like, I don't want to give you guys anything. I don't even know if I like you. You know, I get, but no matter how you participated, you did what you could, and you played how you could. And we are in, you know, we talk like we're in this thing together. So we're in this thing together about how the finances of the church go. We're also in this thing together about how we we worship God and how we live this out and how we love each other, how we love our neighbors. So we are in this whole thing together. So whether it's big or whether it's small or whether it's like we're in a season where we couldn't or we're in a season of I'm not even sure, that's okay. Wherever you are is where you are, and I'm just glad we're in this thing together. Does that make sense? I hope it makes. You know, I drove here this morning, and I go, say something about this that sounds somewhat intelligent, please. You know, so hopefully my heart is conveyed and how I feel about all this. And so grateful for your guys and your heart for this church. So. Now, you all hear clapping. I heard the one clap that started it, which just was like, okay, we got it, buddy. Shut up. Okay. Which, thank you. I needed that. I needed a transition. Yeah, ridiculous. Okay. Hey, we are in a series, and we are in a series called Game Changers, and we've been looking at these game changers. At least we started out last week. And as we look at these game changers, we are looking at this idea that all through our lives, there have been game changers. There's been things that, like, they just change the trajectory of how things go and what things are. So... I've been like, I've been putting pictures up to kind of show different game changers. So here's one. This would be a game changer. Remember that? No, no one remembers that. But somewhere along the lines, that turned into some sort of like jet that we, you know, let me rephrase that, some sort of tube that we climb in at 5,000 feet and like fly through the air through that thing. But that thing was a game changer at some point. How about this? This is a game changer. You don't believe it. That's a garbage disposal. Do you remember life before it was a garbage disposal? You know, I think, you know, we used to like scrape our food in the trash can and then probably sit there for like a week, right? And then you take the trash out and then all of a sudden these bad boys came around and we're like, wow, I can just dump, you know, so we're sticking like, you know, kids stuffed animals down there. You stick everything down there and like get down that drain and hopefully it makes it. So that thing was a game changer. How about this? The remote control to the TV. Do you guys remember? Some you're too young. Some of you aren't. We used to have to the unthinkable. Get up out of our chairs or off the couch and go turn the channel. Do you remember those days? And I'll never forget. I'm wasting too time. But I'll never forget. We had this TV where we got the first thing where you push this thing and it just kind of clinked, but it had some sort of, the sound was such that it just went to the next thing on our, did anyone have, I just remember that as a kid. That was my channel. Now I got like, you know, that thing wears out in my house. Like I'm going, you know, commercial comes on, I'm either fast forward on DVR or I'm, over to another channel and back. Okay, good. So that thing's a game changer. How about this thing? Last one. The dryer. The dryer. That. Okay, let me refresh your memory. We used to do that. Okay, and four of those things are actually some guy's underwear, which no one wants. Okay, do you remember those days? Does anyone do that? I remember my parents doing that. I'm like, quit hanging that stuff up, or like get that thing out of, you know, can we do that in the basement? Okay, so all through our lives, we have had game changers. You know, it's ridiculous. I do that, and I'm always like, I wonder if that's fun or matters or stuff, but I'm going to do it again next week, okay? All through our lives, we have game changers. This morning, we're going to look at a game changer. And it's interesting, this probably is going to surprise you, what we're going to look at this morning. The idea that this is actually a game changer, or here's the other actuality, that I'm actually asking you to participate and play and go for it and do what we're going to look at this morning. This is a game changer because Jesus did it. This is a game changer because Jesus said to do it. This is a game changer because Jesus said everyone should do it. And so if that's the case, this is something that is and has to be a game changer in our lives. You ready for what it is? You might be bummed by what it is, or you might be excited. This morning's game changer is baptism. It's baptism. Do you know baptism is a game changer? And we don't think about it that way. We just think about it as something that our grandmother made us do. Like, go do that, you know. But it is a game changer. Why is it a game changer? Like I said, number one reason, Matthew 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized. Why is it a game changer? Jesus did it. If Jesus did it, it's a good idea. He's trying to say, I'm doing this. I did it. It's an exclamation. It is something that we should do. Jesus did it to model to us that we need to do it. So why is this a game changer? Jesus did it, and he's modeling us that we should do it. And then he says this in Matthew 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So you wonder why when they baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, because that's how Jesus said to do it. What's he doing? He's saying, go, everyone needs to be baptized. And you know what? This is an exclamation. You know when he said that, Matthew 28 passage, you know when he said that? He had died on a cross, he had rose from the dead, he'd come back to the disciples, and he's talking to them, and he's saying something. And when someone does that, it's something important. You ever like talk to, maybe at work, or maybe it's like a group of people, or maybe it's your kids or something like that. You say something to them, and then you walk out of the room, and you're like, I don't know if they got that. And you go back in, and you restate your point. Or hey, just so you guys got it, let me say it again. This is one of those moments. Jesus goes, he dies, he's buried, then he rises from the dead, and he comes back, and this is what he talks about. And also, it's just this idea that when you say something, when you say the words like, in closing, it's your parting words, right? What's always important? Your parting words. It's those last words. Let me just drive some things home to you. Let me just say to you things that are important. That's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is saying this. It's important. I want you to do it. I want everyone to do it. So here's my goal this morning. My goal this morning is, if you've never been baptized, my goal is to show you, you need to be baptized. You have to be baptized. This is what's great about this morning. You know what part of next week is going to be? We're going to baptize people. So if you're sitting here this morning like this is a game changer. So if you're sitting this morning, you've never been baptized, we're going to look and say, I need to be baptized. I want you to leave and I want you to tell us you need to be baptized. And I want you to be willing to come back next week because we're going to baptize people on the stage as part of our service next week. So it's great, but this is a defining moment for you. This is a game changer for you. Maybe you were baptized as a kid. Maybe you were sprinkled. Maybe you did it and you don't even remember doing it. Maybe you did it for like me. I've been baptized 3 times. First time I got baptized, sophomore in high school, cute girl got baptized. I just wanted to do it with her. She might think I'm like godly. So what a ridiculous reason to do it, but I did it. Second time I got baptized as a senior with my family. So first time I'm going, that was a joke. Second time I'm going, this has some meaning. I'm going to get baptized, and I'm going to do it with my family. Third time I got baptized was when we went to Israel in the Jordan River. How do you go to Israel and the Jordan River and not get baptized, right? I'm getting baptized. I don't care. I know, but I'm getting baptized. And then you're always nervous, just in case this water's special, I'm jumping in it. So you have these mentalities. So maybe somewhere along the road, you've been baptized, but maybe it meant nothing. Or maybe it was like grandma wanted you to. Maybe you were a little kid, and I know you feel guilty because, mom and dad baptized us and they sprinkled us and you're going to, but maybe it's something that you need to reconsider. So my goal this morning is for you to think through being baptized. It's a game changer in your life. Now let me really quickly kind of explain baptism to you. Start, right from the ground floor here. The word baptism comes from a Greek word, and the Greek word is baptizo. The Greek word is baptizo. And what baptizo mean, it means to dunk, to sink, or to clean. To dunk, to sink, or to clean. It means to wash. So it is this Greek word. Now you know this about the Bible, or maybe you don't. The Bible was originally, the New Testament was in Greek. So the Bible's in Greek, written in Greek, and so all of a sudden they're like, wow, there's a lot of English-speaking people. We need to transcribe this Greek Bible, the New Testament, into English. So they transcribe the Greek Bible into English. In some cases, they translated words. In some cases, they translated things. So when you translated something from Greek to English, you translated it simply from one word to another. So if the word in Greek was theos, they would translate it to the word God. That's translation. In some cases, with the New Testament and with the Greek, they translated it. Now, in other cases, they transliterated, and I'll talk about that in a second. But they translate. Let me give you as an example in Mark 7, verse 4, it says this. When they came from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. When you see wash right there, that word is baptizo. That's the Greek. The word is baptizo. And they observe many other traditions, such as washing, baptizo, of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So we see that the translation of these words is from baptizo, and that means to wash, or to clean, or to dunk, or to sink, yes. So all of a sudden, we have this word. All of a sudden also, now, John the Baptist comes on the scene. John the Baptist comes on the scene, and we'll talk about that in a second, and he starts baptizing people. So he comes on the scene, and he starts baptizing people. And when people are looking at this, they're like, wow. Something's going on there. He's calling people down into the water. Now, he's not calling them down into the water because he's giving them a bath. He seems to be calling them down into the water for something different. It seems to be something spiritual. So they're looking at this, and they're going, wow. As they translate it, and they look at this word baptizo, they come to the realization, wow, he's not washing people, or he's not giving people a bath. This seems to have some theological significance and spiritual significance to what is happening. So when they look at that word and they're going to transcribe it from the Greek to the English, is this interesting or not? Okay, I don't know. Okay, from the Greek to the English, they go to translate it would be to wash. But it's something more than that. So they go, we now have to, instead of translating this word, we're going to transliterate it. Exactly. They're going to translate it, and that is letter by letter by letter. So the word baptizo gets transliterated into baptism. Why? Because they came to realize it didn't mean to wash. It didn't mean to give a bath. There was something more. There was something more religious to it. There was something more theological to it. And that is why it got transliterated into the word baptism. Okay, which begs the question, maybe, what made it theological? What made them think that there was some sort of theological word that they could use? This is what happened. You know that there is a time period between the New Testament and the Old Testament of 400 years, roughly. So 400 years prior to the New Testament. In the period of the Old Testament, there would be people that would travel to Israel and different parts of Israel. And these people would look at the Jewish people. And as they looked at the Jewish people, they would think this. They would think like, wow, there's something about them. Wow, I love their faith. Wow, I'm interested about their God. Wow, they have one God. And there seems to be something about them. So these people would go, and they're not Jewish. Now, if they're not Jewish, we know them as what? Gentiles, okay? So they're Gentiles. They see the Jewish people, they come to the realization of what? I want to be Jewish. So all of a sudden, you have these Gentiles wanting to be Jewish because they're looking at this Jewish life. They're looking at this Jewish God. So all of a sudden, there was people that had to think through, wow, we have Gentiles that want to become Jewish. We need to figure out a system to make Gentiles Jewish. So they came up with some things. One of the things they did was, first thing is, you have to be circumcised. Okay, the first thing, so you have to be circumcised. So like 90% of the guys are like, I think I'll just stay a Gentile. But, sorry, I threw that in. Okay, it's not true, maybe. So the first thing is you have to be circumcised. The second thing is that you have to partake in some meal that is significant to the culture of the faith grown up. So you would participate or have these ceremonies of like the Passover meal. So you'd have to be circumcised. So you'd have this Passover meal. Other thing is you'd have to start studying Old Testament law. You'd have to memorize certain things in Old Testament law. So you'd be circumcised, participate in meals or things that were significant to the past. You would have to memorize and understand the law, and then you participate in certain sacrifices. And oftentimes the sacrifice changes from one thing to another. When you did that, you had taken the steps from being a Gentile to a Jew. Now when you did that, back to baptism, when you did that, then you went and did something, and you did what would be like be considered a ceremonial washing. You've done all those things, then you would go and you do this ceremonial washing. You do it on your own. It was something that you did by yourself. And the word for that was baptizo. You would do this ceremonial washing. Now, the ceremonial washing was this. It signified the idea that I used to be Gentile, but now I'm Jewish. So I'm washing away my Gentileness, and I'm becoming Jewish. Now, there were Jewish people in certain areas that spoke Greek. So when the Jewish people spoke Greek, they had a word for this, and the word was baptizo. The word was baptizo. So they had a word called baptizo that meant baptism. So baptizo actually means two things: wash, clean, dunk, baptism. So all of a sudden, 30 AD, this wild-eyed guy by the name of John the Baptist comes on the scene. So he comes on the scene, and all of a sudden he's proclaiming this thing. He's starting to proclaim this idea that you need to repent. You need to turn. There's something happening. There's a new thing coming, and you need to get right with God. I know you're Jewish, but it's not enough to be Jewish. I know that you're children of Abraham, but it's not enough to be children of Abraham. I know you go to the temple and you sacrifice things, but it's not enough to go to the temple and sacrifice things. There's a new thing coming. You need to get right with God. And so this is what this John the Baptist is trumpeting. And all of a sudden, he does this interesting thing when people do that. He takes them down to the river. He takes them down to the river, and they're watching this, and they're like going, and he seems to be dunking them, or he seems to be dipping them. But it seems to have some sort of religious connotations to it. So they looked at this, and they're like, he's baptizoing them. He is baptizing them. Because just like the Jewish people would, the Gentiles would get baptized and wash away their Gentileness to become Jewish, something seems to be here that there is some sort of ceremonial washing. It says this in Mark 1, verse 4. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Verse 5, the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. So they didn't know how to describe what was going on. It's not like a washing. It's not like he's taking them there to have a bath. It looks like he is baptizoing them. Because it is a religious ceremony. Just like Gentiles would wash away their Gentileness to become Jews. So that's how we got the word baptism. It's a religious word that had religious connotations. In some cases, you'll see baptizo, that's to clean, that's to wash. In some cases, you'll see the word that means baptism. Okay, let me explain baptism to you. Is that of any interest at all? Maybe? Just yes. Thank you. Good. Okay. Now, things to know about baptism. Baptism is a symbol of death and resurrection. It is a symbol of death and resurrection. So, when people are baptized, you see this, they get dunked as a symbol of death. Jesus went to a cross and died and rose again. It is a symbol of death and resurrection. That's what baptism is. It says this in Romans chapter 6. This is how important it is to be reminded of that. The Romans are crying out to Paul. He started a church there. And they want to know, hey, Paul, you know, we hear so much about Jesus and grace and sins are forgiven and all those things. So they're crying out to Paul and they go, hey, if we're just going to get forgiven, if we're just showered with grace, we should just keep on sinning. I mean, why are we trying to, like, live right? We should just, you know, things that we probably all think. Okay, this was Paul's answer in Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? This was their question. By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized in the Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So baptism was this picture of death and resurrection. So what they're saying is this: should we just go on sinning and keep living however we want because we just get showered with grace? And Paul's saying no. Because remember your baptism. You have been baptized. You have been dead, and you have a new life. Why don't we go on sinning? Why don't we do whatever we want? Because that is not who we are. We are a new creation. We are new people. That is not who I am. That is not who you are. So you want to go and do things. You want to say things. You want to act a certain way. You want to just go the heck with it. I'm just saying it or doing it or all those things. And so Paul's answer would, and you would think, well, I'm just going to let God forgive me because he loves me. And Paul would say, no, don't do that. Don't go there. Because why? That is not who you are. Remember your baptism. Remember, you are a new creation. You are a new person. That old Seth, all those ways that you wanted to live, that's done. That's dead. Now, experience life. That is who you are. That is what you're about. That's Paul saying. He's saying, remember your baptism. Then it says this, or the reminder is this. It is also symbolic of your sins being washed away. So baptism is also symbolic of your sins being washed away. Now, when you get dunked, it's not like sinner, dunked, come out, sins have been washed away. You know, it's not the magical, you know, sin cleansing water, okay? Your sins have been washed away because of what Jesus did on a cross. When Jesus went to a cross and died and paid the price for our sins with his blood, through his blood, our sins have been washed away. Baptism is that reminder that Christ's blood washed us and we come out clean. We come out righteous. We come out right from God. Not because of this. This is just a representation, a reminder of that. It's what Jesus did on the cross because he bled for us. Here's another reminder now. Baptism doesn't make you saved. You don't become a Christian because you've been baptized. It is not the secret to salvation. You know, that's why sometimes, you know, parents will become grandparents and the baby will be born. And like 2 weeks into it, they're like, they want to get the thing dunked or sprinkled or, you know, I got to get this thing into heaven. So I need to, like, you know, so we have grandparents or, you know, my parents are like, you need to be baptized because, you know, they want to save us. They want to make sure our ticket's stamped. So they think it comes with baptism. But baptism does not save you. How do we know? Well, there's a couple instances. One instance would be this. You know Jesus. Jesus is on the cross with a couple thieves. So Jesus is up there on a cross. He's got a thief on his sides. And so he has this encounter with them. In this conversation, it says this. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. So one of them's insulting him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man, meaning he's talking about Jesus, he's done nothing wrong. Then he said this to Jesus. One of the thieves says this to Jesus. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's what the thief says to Jesus. Now, at this moment, he's about to die, this thief, and he says, Jesus, remember me. This is what Jesus answered. Too late, buddy. You got to be baptized. Kidding. It's not what he said. Okay. That made me chuckle. Okay. Jesus answered, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Meaning, I see your faith. I see your heart. I see your belief. Where I'm going, you're going. And he's saved. He hasn't been baptized. And nothing's happened. So baptism does not save you. That is not it. Also this, you know this and I've already read it. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Meaning Jesus was baptized. Jesus didn't need to be saved. He's Jesus. So it is not something that saves you. What is baptism? Baptism is an expression of something that has already happened in your heart. Baptism is a physical expression of what you believe that's in your heart. You believe that Jesus died on a cross for your sins. You believe that you're in the need of a Savior. And you're identifying this, God, I need saving, and Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Baptism is a physical expression to this. It's a physical expression to this. Now, why? Why do we do it at church? Like, why do we do it in front of everybody? Why don't I say, why don't you guys all just go home, lay in a bathtub, and come back tomorrow and tell me who did it? You know, why isn't that? So remember, you have John the Baptist, and he comes on the scene, and he's trying to remind everybody, hey, everybody, repent, turn to God, turn to Jesus. He's trying to say all those things. He's trying to say something new is about to happen. And so people start turning in. And what does John have them do? He has them come down to the Jordan River, and he begins to baptizo them. He begins to baptize them in the water he is calling people into. Mark 1, verse 4 says this, and so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. What did he have them do? In front of everybody, what did he have them do? Come down to the Jordan. Come down to the Jordan. Come into the Jordan. Come in with me. Come into me, and I'm going to baptize you. I'm going to dunk you. I'm going to baptizo you. I'm going to drive this home into your heart, which you have already believed. It wasn't enough for the people to listen to John's message and stand on the side of the river and say, preach it, brother. And John goes, you're in. Good. Gotcha. It's not enough to say, amen. Amen, brother. Keep it going. It's not that. John says, love that you believe that. Love that you turn your heart to God. Love that you've repented. Now, this is what I want you to do. Come down into the river. Come down into the river. And this is what John's doing. John is, he wants to drive something into the hearts of people. That's why it's public. Now remember, this is the Jordan River. Now when we hear Jordan River, we think spiritual place, a little hideaway, no one's there. So you have all these people where John is calling people down in the Jordan River. So you have all these people. Some of the people are there because they're excited about his message. Some of the people are like, something new's happening, and God's doing something, and I want to be part of it. So you have all those people. You also have a bunch of people that are there, and they're like, who are these weirdos? You know, these people are strange. They're kind of fanatics. So you have that, just like you'd have that today. So you have that there. Now remember, this is the Jordan River. It's very public. So you know what else you got going on? You have a bunch of kids probably. They're probably playing in the river. They're probably on a raft, splashing. You know, they're probably throwing rocks because it's a very public place. This last year, I took a group of people to Israel. So we're at Israel, and in all these places we went, we did these defining moments. And so we're on the Sea of Galilee, and it's this place where Peter reconciles with Jesus. And so I have people go and get a rock. And I want them to take a rock, and I want it to be something in their life where they just feel that shame, and they hold on to it, and they can't let go. And I wanted them to take a rock, and I want them to throw it in the lake. defining moment of what they're letting go of. And I want them to go into the Sea of Galilee, and I want them to grab a rock. And I want to be reminded that God is with them, that God hasn't left them, that reconciliation between them and Jesus. So I'm in this big thing, in the big moment. And so it's the big moment of kind of bringing it to a close, this ski boat comes by playing Beyonce music, okay? So I'm like, that's Beyonce music, you know? So you got to remember, like, for us, it's like the spiritual Jesus moment. For them, it's the lake, okay? So same with this. Spiritual moment for all these people, but for a lot of people, this is the river. So they're in this river, but it's incredibly public in front of everybody. Why? Why is that important? Well, maybe for two reasons. I'd say this. For some, if you get baptized in front of grandparents or parents or people, you know what it does for them? You know what it does for us to watch people be baptized? It's refreshing. And it's like, wow, I love that. Or look at their faith. Or look at their courage. Or look at what they're willing to do. Or I want that in my... So what it does is it helps those who are watching, and it blesses them. What it also does, though, is it blesses us. When we get baptized, we are taking a truth, and we're doing it in front of other people. And we're doing it in front of other people because the first thing is, I want you to know what I believe. I want you to know where I stand. I'm making a public proclamation. My son went to the Rose Bowl. It was Oklahoma against Georgia. So he went to these people that were from Oklahoma. So when he came home, he had an Oklahoma shirt on. I'm like, why'd you get that? And he's like, oh, they gave it to me. He goes, why did they want you to have a shirt? He goes, well, people need to know who I'm for. That's what baptism does. We stand in front of others, and we allow ourselves to get to, and know what we're doing. We're like, this is who I'm for. This is what I'm about. But here's the great part, too. When you get baptized and you make a public proclamation in front of others, you know, it's not just what you are about, it's not just what you are for, but it's that great reminder of who is for you. It's that great reminder in front of others of who is for you, that God loves you and he's with you and you're made right and you're loved and you're a new person and God cares about you and he's willing to die for you. It's all these reminders set into one, and it drives that home into our heart. I love this picture when Jesus is baptized in Luke 3, verse 21. It says this: when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven opened up, and the Holy Spirit descended on him, a bodily form like a dove. And the voice from heaven said this: you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. God, the Father, is driving into the heart of Jesus that you are my son, and I am your father, and I am pleased with you. And when you go public in front of others, yes, you're making a proclamation in front of them, but you are driving a truth home into your heart. So when you live your life and you want to do things or go things or say things, or you want to forget because we're forgetful people, you need to know, no, I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. I'm not saying that. I'm not acting that way. I am not forgetting because I remember my baptism, and I remember what it is, and I am reminded of what it's about, of how much I'm loved, that I am a new creation, that I have an incredible future. So two things for you, two things I'd love for you to think about. One is, if you haven't been baptized, or you were baptized a long time ago, maybe for the wrong reason, I want to invite you to either on your card that you got in your bulletin or on the desk out there on the way out. Sign up. We're going to get baptized next week in front of everybody. I invite you to do that. If you haven't done it, you have to do it. Drive it home in your heart what you believe. Here's the second thing. My guess is by saying this, 3/4 of you are going to sign up to do it. I'm kidding. A few of you will sign up to do this. But for others, you're like, okay, what's our takeaway from this? For some of you, maybe it's just reminding you of your baptism. Remember that moment where you made a proclamation, where you made a stand, where you said this is what you're about. Maybe you just need to be reminded of that. Here's the other thing. I'd love, under your chair, there's a bookmark. Will you grab that and look at it? And this is what I want. These are all things that baptism is a reminder of. These are all things that baptism is a reminder of. These are all things of what Jesus, what he did for you on the cross. This is what happened. This is what he accomplished. And I just want to allow this, maybe just a moment for you, just to be reminded that you are God's masterpiece. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, you are made right. You are God's masterpiece. You are a child of God. I want you to be reminded, the Spirit of God dwells in you. You may not realize this, but Christ calls you friend. You have been redeemed by God's grace. You have been made right. The price has been paid for you. You have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. You are a new creation in Christ. You can approach God with freedom and confidence. Christ is a vine. You are the branch. You are connected with God. You're the salt and light. You are a difference maker. The Lord renews my strength. You have the strength inside of you, and it's not because of yourself, but it's because of God inside of you. You can do all things, and it's not because of your strength, but because God is inside of you. Christ is with me always, even the ends of everywhere you go, in the darkest places, when you feel alone, when you feel like God doesn't care, when God has left me, yeah, he knows now, and I'm dust. No, Christ is with you, and he loves you, and he hasn't gone anywhere because you are a child of God, because you are a masterpiece. Peace in his eyes, and you will have eternal glory. I want you to be reminded. I want you to look at that. Now look at this list. And this is what I want you to think. Which one of those resonates with you? Which one of those resonates with you? To be reminded of that. Which one of it? Which one of those? And if one of those resonates with you, think to yourself, why? Why does that resonate with you? And oftentimes in our lives, there's this. When there is a truth that we need to believe, there's always a lie that tries to counter it. So you've done things, or you've said things, or you have a past, and you think to yourself, I am so unworthy, or I am so unlovable, or I'm not a master. So what is the lie that wants to shout back these truths in your life? And I want to just pray, and as I pray, allow yourself just to bring that to God. Just take a moment, close your eyes, and what are these reminders that you need to let sink into your heart, that dispel the lie? What is it for you? Lord, we are so grateful. We are forgetful people. And so baptism allows us to be reminded of what you did for us on the cross and what you gave us, and that we are a new creation. And because of what you did on the cross, Lord, everything that's on this list, God, and a whole lot more are true. Allow us to be reminded of it, Lord. Allow us to be reminded of that. And during the week, Lord, when things want to creep in that are lies, help us to shout those lies back and remember these truths. Lord, I pray for those right now who are contemplating being baptized next week, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll just give them the courage, that you'll just say to them, it's time. Say to them, it's okay, it's good, it's a game changer, it's a difference maker. Allow them to be reminded of that they can be baptized next week, and then when life hits them between the eyes, they can say to themselves, remember your baptism, remember your baptism. No, I was baptized. No, I'm a new creation. No, I am dearly loved. No, I am a masterpiece. No, my history with God and eternity with God is secure. I have the strength to get through because Christ is with me. Allow those things to drive into their hearts, God. We love you, God. We are so grateful that you are our Father. And we can say that you are ours and we are yours, God. And we are grateful for that. In Jesus' name, amen.